idea, one of a female artist having a number one album, an album that goes straight to number one, but particularly having a self-penned album, that idea, just at the time, was completely mad. And it was interesting because at the time when Wuthering Heights came out, she was probably came up against one of the biggest female musical force at the time, which would have been Debbie Harry and Blondie, and there was a battle between the two of them for number one.
She was
at
number
the time.
One in the middle of punk.
Yeah, and but the idea that a woman with self-penned records was getting to number one, and it was that moment, that sort of zeitgeist in 79, you know, when Wuthering Heights came out, that now this was the thing. So more even than sort of as a musical force, I think at the time people were very surprised culturally that something like this was happening.
And she was the only woman to have a top five album in about five different, like in the 70s, 80s, 90s, noughties,
and the 2010s, whatever in there, yeah.
You see, there is a funny thing. I'm just going to play a little bit now because, in fact, I remember she did this live on the Late Late Show with Gay Byrne.
Oh, right.
Wuthering Heights. And there is a thing about, like, just the music in terms of just, I want to get underneath it here now after this because I'm not 100% sure necessarily. People just love her. This is Kate Bush, and that's called Wuthering Heights. And that, of course, she shares a birthday with Emily Bronte, as I mentioned earlier on. And, of course, that's based on the Bronte novel of the same name, which is pretty weird. Now, let's just take a look. We're looking at the fact that she's now finally come back after about 35 years to play some live gigs. And Sean, what's the name? What's your actual site called?
Yeah, the site is called katebushnews.com. So it kind of had a much longer site address when I started it off, but I decided I just wanted something that would get to the root of what I do. And what I do is I put up the news, you know. And, you know, the news from her can be very sparse, over the years, but we focus a lot on people who are influenced by her work or other musicians, artists, people like that who mention her.
One of the things about her that I find kind of amazing just at the moment, coming back after 35 years, if you think of the Garth Brooks thing, which is just a phenomenon. It's really strange. Like, Garth Brooks' last recorded output was about 2001. That's about now, what, like 13 years ago. And he was in Ireland, what, 97, 98? So that's about, let's say, 16, 15, 17 years ago. So even if you were 4 years of age, I'm trying to get to the word 20 here. Most people at 20 and under are going, Garth, who the hell is this guy? How can he sell out 400,000 tickets at Croke Park? In many ways, there'll be people saying the exact same thing now. Who the hell is Kate Bush? Never heard of her. And that's what, I mean, like, one of the things about it is that, like, the 12-year gap that you mentioned earlier on, and like, Sean, seriously, like, you know, like there was a book written by a man, John Mendelsohn, called Waiting for Kate Bush. Like, where is Kate? Like the obsessive fans. Okay, discuss the obsessive fanness in the next 20 seconds.
Well, you know, I mean, yeah, there's a caricature of fans, I think, across the board, that they're very, very obsessive and stuff, and that Kate Bush fans seem more obsessive because they're willing to wait for that length of time. But, you know, the music is there, and the fan community is very, very strong.
Yeah.
That there as well. She's always enjoyed a terrific support from her fan base. And I think one of the things I think she's been surprised by in the last couple of years with her albums coming out is just how much people still care about her, cherish her, want her to hear her music.
They really do. Yeah.
It came as a surprise to her, and I think maybe that was one of the things that nudged her out the door to do these shows. Right.
By the way, 51552 is our text, and what we're talking about here is Kate Bush, because she's actually going to do a bunch of gigs, which might or might not, do you think, Simon, result in a 10-year tour?
I'm not sure if she will. No, to be honest, I think she may just be happy enough to do these, and, you know, she may get to even just gig number 7 or 8 out of the 15 and go, okay, look, I'll do my 15, but I'm moving on.
Also, Sean, isn't it fair to say that, unlike a lot of the people we might talk about at this level, that Kate Bush, she made it in the States, but not really.
No, she it took her a while. I think it was Running Up That Hill was her first sort of impact on the charts over there. But the States, I think when her 1982 album, The Dreaming, it didn't go down very well, say, in the UK. It was very experimental. It kind of baffled a lot of people. That was where the American, especially college radio, picked up on that. And I think, you know, in fairness to them, she became seen as a sort of a very arty indie artist in America in the early 80s, and that was an interesting one. And so, but she hasn't been an enormous commercial success in America on the same level as she is in Europe.
Isn't she a brilliant all-round musician? I mean, we're talking balalaikas and didgeridoos by the second album, mastering all of those, plus 1,000 others and fairlights and all the rest, yeah?
Well, she's certainly a studio wizard. She's a pianist, really, first and foremost, and she has played the odd little bit of other instruments, but she's very adept at getting in just the right musician for whatever sound she wants to create in the studio. So she, and of course, she can get anyone she wants.
Yeah, of course. I mean, she's a bit of a national treasure, all right, no question about it. So, Simon, like those that she has influenced, we'll be here till tomorrow. Yeah?
And this is it, but I think there's something interesting about this, in that even as Kate Bush, in between albums, when you're waiting 12 years for an album to appear, it's like something comes along and reminds everybody about Kate Bush. And I think particularly what happened in the midst of into the 90s was Tori Amos came along, and people said, Tori Amos, wow, she sounds so much like Kate Bush. You know, and I think that's something that probably made people then go back and listen to another Kate Bush record. But Bjork is the same. Bjork, whenever she talks about Kate Bush, had so much influence in those sort of those Sugar Cube sort of days when she said, I would lie in bed under the covers listening to Kate Bush records.
But I could mention 1,000 harder rock bands, from Muse to Killers and everybody else who's just Kate Bush.
Oh, absolutely.
Bush.
Well, I suppose John Lydon is probably the most famous.
Did he write a song for Kate Bush?
He wrote a song for her, which was interesting in that she thought it was a little bit possibly insulting or patronising to her, because it was called Bird in the Hand, but it was actually about the illegal importation of parrots at the time, but which was something that she was very much into animal rights and animal welfare. But I think she was
about the illegal importation of parrots. Yeah, from Johnny Rotten.
She was somewhat surprised, but he was determined. He was, no, this very much is a tribute to Kate Bush, but he would not be the only one by any means. And even in more sort of more contemporary terms, the likes of Florence Welch or Natasha Khan from Bat for Lashes or Regina Spektor or any of those will all, you know, they're the ones who will confess it immediately, but there's others who you just listen to, and whether it's the vocal style or whether it's the arrangements, and I think so much of what makes Kate Bush albums really good are the arrangements that are behind them. There are so many people who are influenced by Kate Bush.
Right, now Sean, isn't it fair to say that, like, when she did her 6-week tour or whatever it was in 79 and has never toured since, isn't it fair to say that one of the things that got her most was the sexualization of her image by people outside of her own control, the record company or the tour organizers or whatever it happened to be, with famous shots of her where her breasts were that looked much bigger, or the camera was on them more or whatever, and she was absolutely shocked by this. Isn't that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting you use the word control. I mean, one of the things that has sort of been very surprising, I suppose, to a lot of people is how quickly, at such a young age, she actually took control of all of that. She took complete artistic control over absolutely everything. She formed a management company which had her family as the board of directors. She sort of removed herself away from the record company control to such an extent that they often didn't really know when they were going to hear from her with a new album. She's, for a very polite, soft-spoken person, she's incredibly, fiercely protective of her artistic work. And yes, those early years were definitely an eye-opener for her. She did not want to go back to those days when she was doing all kinds of silly things. And, you know, taking her away from the creative process, which is what she was most interested
in. And also on that tour, didn't a close friend of hers die on the tour?
Well, it was on the warm-up night, the very first night of the tour in the Poole Arts Centre. A lighting technician the night before was just doing a dummy check, and unfortunately he fell from a very high scaffolding, and he died, I think, a week later in hospital. So she was shattered. She considered calling off the show, but they just said, listen, that he would have wanted it to go on. And at the very end of the run, the very, very final show in the Hammersmith Odeon, they had a benefit gig for him. His name was Bill Duffield, and Peter Gabriel and Steve Harley from Cockney Rebel, and people joined her on stage for that. So it was a very, very special night.
Peter Gabriel had her on a hit single, of course, as well. He had invited Dolly Parton. Dolly said, Peter, who?
Yeah. But this is for Don't Give Up. And Don't Give Up, one of the very few times that she ever performed live again was that she did a live duet with Peter Gabriel on Don't Give Up at some point in the 80s then as well. But an incredibly rare outing for her. But once again, it was the vocal that's between them. Between herself and Peter Gabriel, it's brilliant.
And when you say an incredibly rare outing, is it fair to say, Sean, that she has done a few things? She has appeared in places. I mean, like her David Gilmour. Was David Gilmour a kind of, was he her, was she his ingenue or like a kind of a protege?
Is her Svengali?
Svengali. Yeah. Like, I mean, he was very good to her from Pink Floyd, isn't that right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, essentially, you know, in the early 70s, he was scouting for talent, and through a kind of mutual family acquaintance, he heard her demo tape or some tapes of her performing and was intrigued, and he stumped up the money for a full professional demo. The recording that you hear on the Kick Inside album, The Man with the Child in His Eyes, I think comes from one of those original demos that he put up the money for. But so all through her career, Dave Gilmour has been a very, you know, close friend. He's played on her albums. So the odd time she will return the favor by appearing with him live. She, in 1987, she appeared at an Amnesty show doing Running Up That Hill with him.
Yeah.
And then in 2002, she showed up very, very unexpectedly at a show of his singing the Comfortably Numb with him. So that was quite a surprise, but that's the last thing we've seen her doing on stage.
Ah, damn, listen, hold on, could you get him back in? Just for 1 second, hold on, sorry about this. Somebody's just walked into the studio, and I quoted him earlier on, and I need him to get in here now, because I just want to ask him a simple question. Sorry, I wasn't even listening to the last page I was saying there. But I wonder, can Edna get him in there? Drag him in, because I want to ask him a question about this and see what he remember. He probably wouldn't.
Just while he's coming in, just I suppose, in when you think 1978, and there was two albums from Kate Bush come out in 78, The Kick Inside and Lionheart, record labels at the time, and in fairness to EMI, they seemed to be quite good with their general treatment of her. But at the time, I'm not sure a lot of record labels knew what to do with a strong female artist. You know, the idea that somebody would come in and wanted to have some level of control. And I remember reading a book about the history of EMI when they talked about that this was because it was such a male-dominated and male-oriented business. The idea then that you would have somebody who was a strong woman who wanted, you know, this level of artistic and as well as that business control was a completely new departure for them. And I think that was something that probably a lot of female artists now, although there's an argument as to whether they're in a much stronger position now, at the time this was a huge deal.
And Sean, what about the Snow album? Was it worth waiting for?
That actually wasn't a long wait, because she had released another album earlier that year, so that she's been doing all kinds of surprising things. Earlier that year, she released Director's Cut, which was a reworking of some older songs, and 50 Words for Snow then was her first album of new songs, I suppose, since Aerial.
Okay, listen, I just want to talk to someone. I'm going to interrupt you just for 1 second. Just stand there and just answer a question, Gay. Gay Byrne has just been walking by the studio. Gay,
yes.
Did I not see? I saw, yes, I did. Kate Bush was on the Late Late and she sang Wuthering Heights.
I have no memory whatsoever.
Oh my God.
God is my judge. No memory whatsoever of it.
Well, I tell you,
I'm so sorry.
Okay, is anybody who has anything to do with RTE Archives, can they check out?
But one thing I can tell you, if it's any good to you, you're on good ground, because it is the Director General's, the past Director General's favourite. She is the favourite singer.
Really? Oh, then we're laughing.
The Cathal Gowan.
Really? Cathal Gowan,
absolutely adores her, and so does his missus. So you're on good ground there. And can I be of any further help to you?
No, you were a brilliant help, but I'm telling you, you definitely had her on the Late Late. I don't think you interviewed her, but she sang Wuthering Heights.
I would have interviewed her if I'd had, but I have no memory whatsoever.
It was 78 Directions, 79 was when it was a hit.
Would remember that.
No, because I remember seeing her.
Aren't you wonderful?
There were very few other places you could see
can
music.
Can I go now?
Yeah,
no,
go, Gay, okay, get out.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Come on, Gay. I'll sing a song that will just make reparations.
Sing Wuthering Heights. All right, thank you very much, Gay. I'm telling you. If Gay can't remember that she was on, I'm telling you, she was on the Late Late. By the way, that's Simon. Simon. All right, listen, anyway, so you're all going to try and get tickets. You'll obviously get tickets, Sean, come on.
Look, if I don't get one this week when they go on sale, I'll probably be broadcasting myself on YouTube crying and begging.
All right, well then what are the chances of more than just these 15 dates?
Well, I mean, who knows? I've noticed that there are gaps in between, but I'm guessing they're so that she can take a break in between a couple of shows here and there. So who knows? You know, she might be tempted. It depends on sort of how it goes, you know. She might get a taste for it.
She might get a taste for it indeed. All right, well, listen, thanks a million for talking to us. And it must be... Oh, yeah, you've met her, by the way, haven't you? You've been in her house.
It's a long story. It's a long story. I did meet her, yes. I was at her brother's birthday, and it was lovely. She was very nice. And then I started to hyperventilate.
Yeah, right, okay. Even the memory. All right, well, listen, thank you very much indeed for talking to us. What's the website actually called again?
Thanks, Dave. It's called katebushnews.com. and come over. There's lots going on.
All right, katebushnews.com and Simon Marr as well. That's Sean Toomey and Simon Marr. Thanks a million for dropping in to talk about it all. Well, she was on the Late Late. I've just been told she was on the Late Late. Gay Byrne.
Vindication.
God's sake. When was the date? Come on, let's hear. March 25th, 1978. Yes. It's on YouTube, is it? Her performance is on YouTube. And oh, really? Oh, my God. Okay, now, you see, I told you so. March 78. Right, okay, there you are. I didn't realise now it was that accurate, but there you go. All right, listen, that's basically it's a question of don't give up. Oh, my God, what an intro. 4 million interviews that Gay did in the Late Late. Why would you remember them all? But he did. He talked to her in March 78, the Late Late, her being Kate Bush, and I'm going to give it to you now because we got it.
Yeah.
Hello there.
Well, now, it's rather surprising. I am told you, I know your father is a doctor. Is it a very musical family you come from?
Well, my brothers are very musical, and my mother is Irish, in fact, so I guess a lot of us get it from her.
Where is she from?
She's from Waterford.
What was her maiden name?
I don't think she'd like me to say.
Why not?
I think she wants the family to remain anonymous, just because, I mean, my family at the moment are getting a lot of people bringing them up and...
Yes. I see. Your father is not Irish.
No, he's English.
Well, if your mother's from Waterford, that means the Valdunican country and the Gilbert O'Sullivan country and the Dave Allen country, not to mention Waterford Glass and a couple of other things as well. So there's a fair old tradition of music there. You've been writing songs for how long now?
I think easily 10 years, since I was a kiddie. You know, it's just been the thing I've always loved doing. I love music and it's been my way of expressing myself.
And I'm told you tried your first sample record when you were 16.
Yes, that's right. It was making a demo in order to try and get a contract with a record company, and it was successful. I've been very lucky.
And you're taking dancing lessons too?
Yes, I have been for over 2 years now. Recently, I've not had the time, though. I've been so busy with it.
So absolutely you've decided that music and show business is your career?
Music is, yes, for sure.
Well, the dancing would give you a chance of you know, playing a singing, acting part and a musical part, indeed. So, most extraordinary, the sources for your songs. I mean, Wuthering Heights. What other sources have you used?
Well, that's the only book that I've actually written about. Most of my other inspiration comes from people. People are full of poetry, you know. Everything they say, maybe the way they say it, has a magic and a spark in it, and... people are always saying things that inspire me. I mean, people are just full of wonderful things. It's great.
I know you're smothered with a cold at the moment. Very difficult to work.
Yes, it is. It's a nuisance.
Yes, and you're such a slight little thing. You think a dose of flu would bowl you right over?
Oh, I'm not as weak as I look.
Not as weak as you look, I dare say. No, well, with a daddy, a doctor, you're probably getting the tablets cheap anyway. Yeah. That's not a bad thing. Yeah. So you're just over for a brief visit to Ireland, aren't you?
Yes, just for tonight and going back tomorrow morning.
Well, you've made as big an impact in Ireland as you have in Britain and elsewhere. The problem is, what are you going to do to follow that now?
Well, all I can do is do my best, do what I've always done. Just keep writing and working.
Have you another set of songs ready?
I have a few, yes, but I think the most important thing at the moment is that I get the time in order to write more and expand my inspiration and sources of stimulus.
Very good. Well, it's nice to meet you. Thank you very much indeed for joining us on the Late Late.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Kate Bush, ladies and gentlemen, indeed, on the Late Late Show with Gay Byrne back in 1978, and that was at the very start of it all, where she did do a performance of Wuthering Heights, and that was the very